Miss Obenauer is not here today, but the Waltons are. So those of y'all seeing people scatter, it's not because we're starting to teach. It's different classes. Rita, you can stand here. Amen. Mark chapter 5. We've been doing a study through the book of Mark. I hope you're enjoying it. I am just getting to study through it. Mark was probably the earliest gospel recorded or written. And, Mark pictures Christ as a servant. The chapter 5, we see where last week we talked about the three things that mankind faces, the three fears, is the demonic spirits that haunt us, diseases, and death. And with that in mind, in chapter 5, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ overcomes all of those. He heals a man possessed of demons, a legion of demons. He's going to heal a woman that had a disease for 12 years of her life. And then he's going to heal a child, or bring a child back to life, proving that he can conquer anything. As I studied this lesson, it spoke to my heart about who Jesus Christ is. You know, it's something to know Him. And I think I told y'all before, when my daughter left home, she was raised in a Christian home all of her life. We went to church. It wasn't something that, you know, we every now and then did. If the doors were open, we went. She was raised in church. She was raised in Sunday school programs. Had read her Bible all the way through a couple of times. I mean, she had a foundation to leave home on. But she told me that she didn't really get a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ until she was alone at college. And she said He became very real to her, a personal friend, someone that she counted on and does to this day. And I think just looking at these three examples of who He is to these different people should bring meaning to us as to who He is to us. I know what reminded me a minute ago, we all give our thoughts and stuff of here's what's going to happen or here's how it's going to happen. You understand that's prophesying, right? Amen. That's not a good thing to do. You know, one of my I got in trouble a lot for talking about my kids, but just keep getting mad at me. It's a good reference point. We're kind of into the sports scene because of my son, and you know, I'm so sick and tired of hearing all the so-called experts talk about this man Tim Tebow that he can't play in the professional ranks. I'm so sick of that. And I think he answered him. He said, you know what? He said, I was given a set of guidelines and perimeters in which to play by and was the best that college had to offer. Give me another set of guidelines and rules and let's see how I do. So for those guys to come up and say that he can or he can't is prophesying. They're saying what God already knows. And I think in our lives, in everything, we need to be careful as to saying that this is going to happen or this isn't going to happen or anything like that, because again, only God knows. We're going to see that Jesus Christ, who is God, knows when this woman touches Him. She just touched the hem of His garment. He turns around and asks the question, but it wasn't for His knowledge. It was for her knowledge. And I think, again, that would relate to us in a lot of different areas. But He deals with the man possessed of the demons. He deals with him. The demons leave and go into the swine, and they run violently down the hill, and they're put to death in the sea. And people start talking about it. They come out. Now, again, this was an illegal practice that was going on anyway. So it wasn't that he damaged someone's property or anything like that. They were doing ill-gotten gain. They wasn't supposed to be raising these. we're reminded that he went into the temple and he scourged. He took a scourge and drove them out of the temple. So there's instances where it appears to be a bad thing, but it isn't because of what he's doing. But after we pray Mark chapter 5, we'll try and get to the conclusion of it because, again, dealing with these three different individuals. Lord, thank you again for all those who've come today. Father, I thank you for each one of them that showed up here, Lord, to hear your word. Father, I pray that through the reading of your word, Lord, that we would see who you are in a new light today. Lord, even if we have that relationship with you, the knowledge of your salvation, Lord, that we'd get a new understanding of who you are and how personal you want to be in our lives. Lord, I pray for all the prayer requests that was offered up, Lord, these that have physical needs, but Lord, most importantly, these with spiritual needs. Lord, that we know that you want to meet each one of them. Lord, again, just lift us up. Lord, let us feel your presence. In Christ's name, amen. Mark chapter 5 and verse 15 says, "And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind." And then the next four words just take me back. "And they were afraid." Now here's a guy that tormented the entire community. Anybody that came up through the sea channel there, he tormented them. Anybody that came around the cemetery, they tried to go and catch him at one time and chain him up, and the chains couldn't hold him. I mean, this guy struck fear in people because of how and who and what he was doing. And now he's sitting clothed in his right mind because of what Jesus Christ did, and they were afraid of him. They were afraid of what happened in this guy's life. I've told y'all before, when you take a stand for Jesus Christ, you're going to lose some of your old friends. It's just going to happen. They're not going to have the same mindset. They're not going to have the same thought process that you go through now of having a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's going to cost you some things. It's going to cost you some near and dear friends, but you're going to gain even better friends. You know, I cherish the friends I have here. Man, we can get together and have a genuinely great time. I mean, a great time. And if you'll stay for the fellowship after, you'll find out what I mean. But this guy had a life-changing experience. It changed his life completely, so much so that they used to be afraid of him for the way he was. Now they're afraid of him for the way he is now. They said something drastic happened in this man's life. Something very dramatic took place. He's clothed, which was a different way they had seen him, sitting in his right mind. And that was a huge change for this man's life. Jesus Christ had done that for him. And here's a guy that did not want to leave the side of Jesus Christ. And he said, "You have changed my life completely, have had a drastic effect on me and my surroundings, a drastic effect on that guy's family, the community." I mean, here's something that took place, and this guy wanted to stay and go with Jesus Christ out of honoring him and cherishing him for what he did for him. But Jesus told him, "No, you know what? It would be better for you just to stay here in the shape and in the mind that you're in because of the impact it's going to have here." Jesus Christ comes back through this area later in his ministry, and I have no doubt that this man saved the demons had an impact on the people that were saved when they came back through. Look what it says here in verse 17. "And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast." What a sad statement again. Here's this man possessed of presumably 2,000 to 6,000 demons in his body. Depending on how you want to count it up, there were 2,000 swine. Either there was enough to fill up all the swine because they all ran down the hill and to their demise, but it could have been that three demons per you know, swine went. I don't know how it was divided up. But here's a guy that was physically tormented. He changed his life. And they said, man, we need you to get out of here. How sad is that a report? You know, it's kind of like when Capia said, if we don't do something about this Jesus, the whole world is going to believe on Him. And today we spend billions of dollars and countless hours trying to reach the whole world for Jesus Christ. Capius knew, he said, if we don't do something about Him, everybody is going to believe on Him. Again, two sad passages of Scripture that they prayed on Him to say, hey, we want you out of our country. You know, if you're gonna come around and do this kind of stuff and make us afraid, we want you gone. You know, it's that same mindset when Jesus came into Jerusalem, when they sang Hosanna, and then they found out that wasn't the king that they wanted, and they said, crucify Him. Verse 18 says, and when He was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed Him that He might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for thee. Man, could we all stop right there and just underline our Bibles? You know, we are all a society of what have you done for me lately? What have you done for me this week? What are you going to do for me today? When you can just go back and say, man, let me tell you the great things the Lord has done for me. Until you see yourself as you was before you got saved, you can't really make that statement. Now, when you can stand and say, let me tell you what the Lord did for me. He saved me from the fiery pits of hell. What else do you want? You know, what else do you want to ask for? He says, just go and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you. And had compassion on thee. He says, not only has He done stuff for you, but He had compassion on you enough to save you. Jesus said, you know what? Rather than you go hang with me and these other 12, it would be better for you to stay here as a witness. You know, it'd be better for you just to be a witness at work, to be a witness with your family. You know, we talk a lot about the around the holidays, especially Christmas time or Easter time, when you can be a witness to your family. And it's right there on the front of everyone's mind. You can talk to them really without, you know, dragging them into a conversation about what's going on with the holidays. But Jesus said, go home to thy friends and tell them the great things that the Lord has done for thee. This guy was formerly a guy that just put fear in everyone in the community. You know, I want you to think back of how he was before we saw him sitting in his right mind, clothed and sitting in his right mind. He had fetters, chains on him that was hanging down that he'd broke loose, leather straps where they had tried to bind him and tie him. He either had tethered rag clothes on or no clothes at all, just from being out of his mind. Just tell them what happened to you now and why you have some normalcy about your life. That you're not the way you were, the former way you were. And I would tell you that every one of us was that same man. Every one of us. You know, I'm amazed that God chose me and uses me. Even today in my unclean state. You know, when you really see yourself as God sees you, it kind of sends shivers up your spine. Now the good thing is if you're saved, the only way that He can see you is through the blood of Christ. And everything's fine. You're standing before God is fine. But to see how we formerly were, I don't have a long list of in my mind, bad thing. You know, I didn't do the drug scene. I didn't do, you know, all the things that would denote that kind of lifestyle. So I can't come out of it and go, man, God saved me from all that. God saved me from hell, which is worse than all that. Okay? But we have to get our mindset of saying, hey, you know, here's what we were, and now here's what we are. Go tell everybody what great things the Lord has done for you. Had compassion on you and did things for you. I was talking about prophesying a minute ago. We have to be careful that we don't get into that of saying, this is going to happen or that's going to happen. It's in God's plan and in God's hands. It's not up to us to say, well, you know, it's going to go this way for a while. You don't know that. And the course of events in people's lives change on a day-to-day basis. You know, you think about somebody involved in a car wreck and how that changes their lives immediately, or accidents that happen and how it changes their lives immediately. For us to sit and say, well, you know, it's going to go like this, this, and this, I think is very, very short-sighted on our part. Very short-sighted. So Jesus says, you need to stay here. Verse 20 says, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. This guy went and did what Jesus told him to do. You know what he did? He just went out and said, this is the way I was, and now you're seeing how I am now. And when you see that, I know I've made the statement, and I've had people make the statement to me. Man, I want what you got. Man, how do you get to, you know, I want that going on. You get a relationship with Jesus Christ, and those things come. I know I've said that to people. Man, how are you getting? And that was the statement they told me. You know, just get with Jesus Christ. Everything else is okay. Verse 21. And when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. This one's tough, y'all. Everybody got kids? Pretty much. It's tough. Man, I mean, it's tough. My daughter's 23. I can never see her except her being 8 years old for the rest of her life. That's it. 8 years old. She was so cute. She walked around on her tiptoes all the time. Just on her tiptoes all the time. She was a toe walker. It's the cutest thing. You know, oh, look at her. She walks on her toes. She's going to be a ballerina. I'll tell you a story one time on my wife. I know, she just rolled her head back. She's got the little teacups and stuff. And she's got them stacked on her, you know, a couple of them. Got the little tea in them. And she comes walking in with them. You know, she's little. And my wife, in all of her wisdom and knowledge, says, oh, look, she's going to be a waitress. And I said, let's aim a little higher. Nothing wrong with waitressing, but, you know, let's... Tuesday, she's halfway through with her master's. Praise the Lord. But it was so cute. She's walking around on her toes. We took her to a doctor one day. I don't remember what the deal was. Again, she's yay big. He strips her down. Says, walk over there, hon. There she goes on her toes. He says, she doesn't have spinal bifida. And I started bawling. I thought it was cute. I broke down. I'm telling you, I had no idea. I was crying like a baby sitting there. I'm like, wait a minute. We thought it was cute. And he goes through all this stuff that she doesn't have. And I said, praise the Lord. She's a toe walker. No. Man, when it gets into your children, that's when it goes to getting rough. Your children, even today, it goes to getting rough. When your kids are sick, You'll do absolutely anything. You know, Lori, stop. Cover her up. Anyway, you'll do anything to provide or take care of your children. Anything. That's what we have as parents. My daughter's in college in Lubbock. She called her mom and she said, I know I probably should have already discussed this and I put it off, but I've got this kind of scaly rash deal on my tongue. I've had it for a while. I'm scared. I drove to Lubbock. I got there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Of course, she was crying. She said, when I heard the door knock, I knew it was you. She's fine. After I whooped her for not going and getting taken care of. Anyway, she got over that. Here's a dad that said, I need you to come and help my daughter. She's sick. Thank God he knew who to go to. Incidentally, I went to the same guy. You know, he's still doing it 2,000 years later. He knew to go to Jesus Christ. For some thought process, he thought that he had to come to his house. And we understand that that's not true. We know that. He didn't make a house call in Lubbock when I drove out there. He went with me. You know? But for some reason, he said, hey, I need you to come to my house. My daughter's sick. Sick unto death. He said he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. I love that point right there. When she had heard of Jesus, she said, you know, all these other physicians couldn't do it, but he's the great physician. He can do it. You got two stories going on at the same time and they intermix right here. You've got a dad that's had 12 years of bliss with his little girl. All the happy times of growing up. In about 2 weeks, we're going to do about a 6-minute little video clip of my son, 18 years gone. Boom, just like that. You know, they said, hey, give us some pictures. Okay, I've got 1,000, 3,000. Oh no, we just want like 40. Really? And it went by that fast. Y'all can back that up. It's gone. But he had 12 years of bliss watching his little daughter grow up. Here she is from the time she's an infant all the way up to 12 years of age. And then we see this woman who's had an issue of blood for 12 years. When his daughter was born, this woman got sick. And for 12 years, she'd been in agony, in pain. There'd been embarrassment, disappointment, financial ruin in the 12 years. She'd spent all she had trying to get well. Went to doctor after doctor after doctor. Some of y'all have experienced that. You know, that's why we use the term second opinion, third opinion, hey, I want another opinion. You know, bless the Cobb's hearts, you know. They said, hallelujah, they didn't find anything. I said, okay, but there's something there. You know, I laid in a hospital one time in Oklahoma from a bull wreck. I couldn't pick my left arm up, and the doctor said, we can't find anything wrong with you. I said, there is. Can't pick my arm up. There's something there. Look again. Here's a woman that, again, she has nowhere else to turn. No other hope. If she could, she don't have the money to do it. So she spent all she had trying to get well. In Leviticus chapter 12, we see the law of what she's got. She has a blood issue. She was to be set out. She couldn't come into the sanctuary. She couldn't offer sacrifice. She was to be separated and apart. So this woman for 12 years, by the way, you couldn't touch her. You couldn't sit anywhere that she sat. You couldn't lay in a bed anywhere she laid. I went and read all the law that pertained to this woman. It was a great deal to her. She was a castaway. Not from anything she did, but because she had problems in her life, physical problems. And she was cast aside. But it says here that when she heard of Jesus, man, she knew where to turn to. I tell you, it doesn't matter what your issue is today. You can still turn to Jesus. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter if it's physical, financial, emotional, family. It doesn't matter. You turn to Jesus Christ. He's the great physician. So it says that when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be made whole. Man, is that some faith? That right there, and you have to understand, it was her faith that made her whole. It wasn't anything that Jesus Christ did to turn around and go, oh, okay, you got me. No, it was her faith. Now, what's her mindset about it, if she just at least touched the hem of His garment? I'll ask you this. Does disease affect our garments? Be careful. Would you put on a leper's coat? Thank you. Yeah. Maybe not, huh? So, her mindset is, you know what? It affects my clothes. Maybe His vesture affects even His raiment. Pretty good thought. She said, you know what? All I got to do is get... She really didn't have to even get close enough to touch Him. But for her, it made the difference. For her, just to touch Him. Have to be careful with that Pope guy. Everybody wanting to touch him. He can't do this. Can't ever in his best days, can't ever do this. But look what happens. Now remember, we got two things going on right here. Jairus is trying to get him to his house as fast as he can because his daughter's laying dying. And Jesus says, wait a minute. Something has just happened. Someone's been made whole. Now he didn't turn around. He asks, who touched me? And our great mindful apostles said, how can we know? There's too many people. He wasn't asking. Y'all shut up and sit down over there. I want that woman that reached up and touched me to admit that her faith made her do that. Because see, if you have secret disciples, make weak disciples. He didn't want someone saying, well, you know, I went one time, I seen him going, and I just reached under everybody's legs and touched him. No, that's going to make a weak disciple. He turns around, and Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? He didn't feel somebody touching his clothes. He's God. He knew that woman... Remember, her mindset was, if I can just touch the garment, you know, just touch His hem, I'll be made whole. He was asking the question to her. He knew who she was. He turns around and looks and says, who touched my clothes? And His disciples said unto Him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You're not very smart, are you? Is that what they just said? You're not very smart for the Creator of the universe. How are you going to know? How are we going to know who touched you? He's not asking them. He's not asking anybody around but that woman. He says, and he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Man, isn't that great? He told her things he already knew. She said, I've spent all my money. There can't a man alive heal me, but I know who you are. What did it say up there? It said, and when she had heard of Jesus, she knew who he was, and she said, this guy right here can do it, and all I got to do is get close to him. See, to her, it was she had to touch him, but it wasn't. If she would have reached up there and never got through because of the crowd, she would have been healed. I have no doubt. Her healing was from her faith. From her having faith enough to say, you know what? I got to turn my attention to him. That's what's going to save me. That's what's going to make me. And look what happened. She had a feeling inside of her. She knew that she was well. Look what it says here. And it says, and the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her. She had a life-changing experience. Not only was her physical body healed, but her spiritual body was healed. She said, I know something has happened in my life. And it says that she fell down before him and told him all the truth. We got to be careful about having emotion beforehand. That's not how it works. You get saved, and then things go on in your life. What happened to her? She reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she felt something change inside of her. When we have the invitation here in a little bit, when you step out of the aisle, guess what? Your faith has made you do that. You might get emotional down here, but that's already taken place in your life. You've had something go on inside of you that made you get up, excuse me, and come down the aisle. You've had that something happen in your life for that experience to happen. Verse 29 says, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She knew that something went on inside of her. Her personal faith is what worked. You know, I talk to people a lot that says, you know, my daughter's saved because I'm saved, or I'm saved because, you know, grandma went to the church or what. No, it's a personal thing. It has nothing to do with someone else. It's a personal faith. And again, you see here in verse 29 that she knew something went on in her body, and we get on down there and it says that she had a feeling after the fact. So her emotions took place after that, not first. Salvation's not based on feelings, y'all. See, salvation's a love thing. And you've heard Brother Crawford mention it, me too. I don't always like my wife. She always likes me, but it's hard going the other way. I'm just likable, you know. I don't always like her, but I don't ever quit loving her. It's not based on feelings. You know, people go, well, I just don't feel like I love her anymore. Well, you know what? That's not how it works. You know, let something happen and find out, wow, I still have feelings, you know. But salvation takes place, and then the feelings. Feelings are the results of a transformed life. You know, you see somebody get emotional down here, or you know, you lead somebody to the Lord and they get emotional. That's what's happened after their lives have been transformed. You know, I was reminded this morning, there's a young lady that I led to the Lord a couple of years ago, and I remember her, before we really got up to that question, big old tears started filling up in her eyes. Something had already happened inside of her, and that feeling was coming out. You know, I didn't base her salvation on, ooh, well, she cried. You know, that's feelings, and that's not what we base it on. Verse 30 says, "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" After you have that salvation experience, you have to make a public profession. With the mouth, confession is made. You know, tell people all the time, I don't know what's on your heart or your mind. It's a scary thought, but I don't know what Denise is thinking right now. It's a scary thought. Until she says it with her mouth, what's going on, I don't know. When you have something, a life-changing experience happens inside of you, you have to confess it. Hey, here's what just happened to me. Jesus wanted that public profession out of her. He wanted her to say, hey, here's what went on with me. She told him all about it. Verse 34, and he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." He said, your faith has made you whole. Man, isn't that great? He said, because you found out who I am and you responded to it, it's your faith that made you whole. Wasn't anything he did. He turned around and said, "Who touched me?" It was her faith that came to him. Remember, we got the rest of the story going on. Verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?'" Man, I stopped on this verse right here. Just infuriates me. Here's some people that don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ coming and giving a report. What do they know? Who are they to say, "Hey, your situation don't look very good, Lori. You know what? Here on this earth, it doesn't..." Yeah, but you don't know who I know. You know? Who are these people to come up and say, "Hey, I got bad news for you. You don't need to bother this guy anymore because it's too late." Man, what a brass statement. You know? Here's some people that don't know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given what they presume to be the gospel. And Jairus listened to them. "Yeah, okay, never mind, sorry. Man, why did you mess with that woman? Now I've lost my daughter." You know? But look at verse 36. "And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.'" You know what he told him? He said, "It's going to be all right." He showed compassion on him. He said, don't listen to them. Just believe. You just saw this woman whose faith in coming. You see what just happened to her. Yet you're going to believe these guys that, you know, who are these guys that's giving the report? Be careful who you listen to, y'all. Man, be careful who comes up and tells you, "Well, here's your situation. I've kept up with it chronologically, and boy, you're in a sad way." You know? Be careful about listening to them. Jesus said, "Be not afraid, only believe." All you got to do is believe. Do you not think that He is out for our best interest? Only believe. "And He suffered no man to follow Him save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult and them that wept and wailed greatly." This verse 38 here, our customs and things that happen today are completely different than the way they were back then and with Jewish society. They did things and customs that we just think are just silly. They actually paid professional wailers to come in and cry and do the things and carry on and have this tumult that was going on for this little girl. Look what Jesus tells them. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? He was talking to those paid people. The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. I'll ask you again, who are they? Who are these people? They're fixing to have egg all over their face. He says, I tell you what, you guys that are on that side, y'all need to go out because y'all don't get to see this. This is going to be a miracle beyond miracles. You understand that he says she just sleepeth. Our soul never dies. He said her body's asleep. You know, that's what sleep is to us. It's a picture of our body being buried and then resurrected every time we wake up. You look over there, man, that guy looks like he's dead. Hey, oh, he was just asleep. No, he looked like he was dead. Except for you those that snore. I don't know why I looked at Barry. He just looks like a snorer. Okay, good. All right. That's why they call him Bear. Okay. We got to hurry. They laughed him to scorn. Verse 41, it says, and he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha Kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, and she was at the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded something be given her to eat. You know what? She's alive. She's fine. Give her something to eat. Let her go play. Amen. Just like nothing ever happened. Man, that's who we listen to. Be careful of the report that's coming to you. Who's giving it to you? Because again, they're going to look at the circumstances unless they know who you brought with you. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Father, thank you for Christ and Lord that he still makes house calls and still does the things, Lord, that are talked about in your word. Father, thank you for all these who come out. Lord, I pray that the reading of your word has been a blessing. Lord, just lift them up. Lord, let them feel your love and your comfort. Be with our services to follow. In Christ's name, amen.